Talk Shoe. Recorded live.
Good evening, fellas, and welcome to another episode of the Virtual Talk Show, produced by Head of Household. This show is broadcast live every Tuesday night from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we also have a show for the ladies in your lives that runs tonight at the exact same time. You can get more info about either show by visiting our website, householdstress.com. And, of course, the only rule that we have is no profanity, so no cursing, fellas. Let's keep it clean. The virtual talk shows always present the hottest topics for discussion, and tonight is no different. The topic for tonight is abortion. Abortion. Now, abortion and abortion laws are very, extremely controversial. So what we're not going to do is to talk about politics or government legislation regarding abortion. Though some of the things we'll discuss definitely have political and racial components, we want to continue to keep this forum as apolitical and civil as possible. And some of the statistics that I'll share with y'all tonight, of course, are categorized by race, but I'll be presenting those stats from a factual standpoint only. Oh, I forgot to introduce myself. My name is Rodney, and I will be your pilot for the evening. That's right, I'm going to be flying this plane, and tonight I'll be one part pilot, one part scientist, one part mathematician, one part statistician, and one part Webster's Dictionary, that is, which is my favorite part. And I got a new wrinkle for y'all. Instead of dropping monkey wrenches or Trump cards, as I usually like to do, I'm going to introduce a little something new. I want y'all to listen to this real quick. Can y'all hear that?
Yeah.
Y'all hear that?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
That's the seatbelt sound when you're on an airplane. So when you hear that tonight, it means get to your seat and buckle your seatbelts because it's about to get a little bumpy. So that sound is just to put you on notice that it might get a little uncomfortable. But please, fellas, please try to hang on until the 10:30 to 11 o'clock time frame tonight because you'll definitely, you don't want to miss the conclusion to this episode. If you have to leave the show before that time, please, please, please try to jump back in anytime between 10:30 and 11 for the conclusion because it's going to be pretty good, I must say myself, not to toot my own horn. But all right, with all that said, let's get started. Webster, define abortion. Abortion is the removal of an embryo or fetus from the uterus in order to end a pregnancy. Any of the various surgical methods for terminating a pregnancy, especially during the first 6 months. An abortion is voluntary or deliberate. All right, statistician. Some of the reasons given for abortions in the United States. Rape, less than 1%. Incest, less than 1%. Life of the mother, less than 1%. Physical health of the mother, 1%. Fetal health, less than 1%. Personal choice, 98%. Now, y'all don't take my word for it. Do your own research. But, you know, I'm going to be generous tonight. And I'll say that, you know, rape, incest, life of the mother, physical health of the mother, fetal health, all of that, I'll say, instead of the 1% that I researched, I'll say it's 10%, just to be generous tonight, or 15, however you want to call it. Either way, the bottom line, fellas, is tonight we're going to discover that the vast majority of abortions are basically a form of birth control. I mean, you can't get around that. The baby will be an inconvenience to one or both of the expecting parents. And statistics show, this is crazy, statistics show that almost every third baby conceived in America is killed by an abortion. Every third baby conceived. Think about that. So if three couples conceive a baby tonight, one out of three babies conceived tonight will be aborted. And in the U.S., by 1995, almost half of all abortions were done on mothers who were repeats. So just like you got two or three kids, some woman out there is working on her second or third abortion. There are currently approximately 1.3 million abortions performed each year in the United States alone. All right, first question of the night, after we got that out of the way, the statistics. What would you do? What would you do if your wife got pregnant but she didn't want to go through the pregnancy or have a baby? should you have an equal say on whether or not she has an abortion or not?
Then theoretically?
Yes. Go ahead.
Well, theoretically, obviously, you know, hopefully you guys have talked about this beforehand, and this is not a shock. You're talking about your wife. I don't know what percentage, if you have the percentages of married people aborting children opposed to, you know, out of wedlock. I would assume that out of wedlock would be a much higher number. I don't know. I haven't done the research. But in a marriage situation, hopefully you guys have discussed these things and are in common agreement on this, because this is something that if one or the other are not on the same page, this could be very detrimental to a marriage.
Yeah, good words, good words.
So, there'd be no way, but if I was with, you know, a woman and she killed my baby, I mean, it would not happen. I mean, I don't know if there's coming back from that. I'm just being straight up.
So, Andrew, would you say that you would have an equal say in the decision on whether or not she gets an abortion or not? Or not?
Well, first of all, it's not even an option on the table in my marriage, because both of us believe that, you know, children are a gift from God. But there was a time in my life I didn't look at things that way. But, you know, today I'm a Christian and my wife is a Christian, and abortion is totally off the table. But, you know, to go back, that's a different situation. Where I am now, it's not even, you know, if my wife got pregnant, you know, tonight, we would have another baby.
Mm. Okay. Anybody want to disagree with that?
We're on the same page with that, and we talk about these things, and I mean, that's where we're at.
Good words. Anybody want to disagree with that? Should you have an equal say, or should it be the mother's say, your wife's say?
Well, I guess you would say it depends on how long you've been in the marriage. You know, if it's something, if you're 45 years old and we're concerned about health, you know, and the mother has health reasons at that time, then maybe, you know, it's something to discuss. But if it's it's that we plan to, but
you know, it's no health issues concern. It's just that she don't want to go through the pregnancy, or she don't want to have another baby. Should you have an equal say?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother.
And now you need to have equal because it
go ahead.
Took two people to make that baby. So
exactly.
It needs to be something where it takes two people to make a decision. Now, going back to the first gentleman that was talking about having a discussion, you know, before you get married, I mean, ideally, theoretically, that sounds terrific, but I think we all know that people change their minds, people decide what they're going to do, and when their minds are made up, they can make some decisions sometimes that can be devastating, and you may not be able to necessarily come back from it. Because you could talk to your wife or your husband on all that you want before you got married, and then you get married, and you got two or three kids already, and then that person's mindset changes. Now, of course, you would hope that you have a pulse on that to know where they are potentially thinking about going, or if things have changed. But stuff changes. I mean, particularly when you think about interacting with women and some men, I mean, things are one way one day and completely different the next. But I think that definitely both individuals should have an equal say in it, and I think it would be a travesty if it wasn't that way. And I think it ultimately would create some conflict if it was something where one person was making the decision for two people, especially with this topic and this issue.
Yeah, so basically what you're saying is that if it wasn't for your sperm, she wouldn't be pregnant.
Exactly.
You know,
so
she can't get pregnant by herself.
Right. You're just taking me out of the equation. Like, I mean, that's we're going to have some problems if you make that decision without me, considering we did this together, but now you're just taking – this isn't like you deciding on whether or not somebody's going to sleep over at somebody's house or not, or whether to get mayonnaise or Miracle Whip. This is life.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. you know, to look at it in that capacity, I mean, this is something where I do agree with what the, both gentlemen have said so far. That's huge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to think that one person, because essentially what you're saying is, you're kind of like, I mean, aside from the fact that you are essentially with the concept of abortion, depending on different, you're kind of playing God. But then in this aspect, you really are kind of playing God, because basically you're saying, I don't care what you think. This is what I'm doing.
Wow.
And that's something that's very tough, and I think there's fundamentally something there that you got to think about with regards to a marriage, especially if it's in a marriage and you're talking about this. Because it's like, wow, you know, I would hope that we would have a discussion about this.
Yeah, but what about the let me flip it around on y'all. What about those women who, you know, they're pro-choice and they believe that the decision to have an abortion should be left to the mother? What about that?
Hopefully you wouldn't marry somebody with such opposing views if that's your view.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that to me, you know, I mean...
I agree with that. I do agree with that.
Me, and understand, to me, the only difference between abortion and murder is timing. A woman could go into an abortion clinic at 8.5 months pregnant and legally have an abortion. The next day, if she hadn't had the abortion, the next day if she gave birth and then smothered that child, they would arrest her for murder. So to me, you know, the only difference between abortion and murder is Tommy. It doesn't matter if they're at 8 months, 8 weeks, 8 days, or 8 years. If it's a bad time for me, you know, and me say, well, it's not, you know, I've been through tough times, and there's been times when it hasn't been convenient for me to have children, and for me to say, well, you know what, tough times, let me kill my kids.
Mm.
But you got to understand, when we get on this conversation, I'm going to tell you the change that happened to me, because it wasn't always that way.
So a mother and her abortionist don't have a right to impose their morality on the unborn child? Is that what you're saying?
Well, to me, again, abortion and murder, the only difference is timing. And if you have the right to kill another individual, you don't have that right. You don't have that right to take another life. It'd be like saying, my grandmother, and you know, I've been down with Atlanta, she's 90 years old. That's like saying, you know what, she's no longer useful, so we're going to kill her. It's too much money right now to keep her in hospice and pay all these. It's an inconvenience for us to have to run up there every day and try to keep her alive, so we're just going to kill her.
So, Andrew, do you believe that the baby has rights independent of the mother? And what I mean by that question is, do the basic rights belong to the baby and not the mother?
I believe that life begins at conception. All right? And just like a mother does not have the right, you know, Christine does not have the right to kill your children because it's inconvenient for her. She doesn't have the right at 3 months in the womb either, in my opinion. I don't believe anybody has the right to kill a child, or anybody else, for that matter.
Okay. Anybody else want to give somebody else a chance to speak here? And again, the question on the table is, you know, your wife is pregnant, but, you know, she doesn't want to go through the pregnancy or have another baby. Should the head of household have an equal say? That's the question on the table on what to do, you know, in that situation. Want to give somebody else a chance to opportunity to speak here.
Well, can I throw a jab in there?
Go ahead.
Nine times out of ten, based on readings, you know, the man always wants the baby at first, but the first line of trouble with the family, he's out the door. Do you think that may be a reason why women think that way?
I don't think they realize. I don't think they're thinking that he's going to be out the door, you know, eventually. I will hope not.
Some do think that way, though.
Again, are we talking about marriage? Or are we talking about, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, equipment.
Yeah, this is a marriage situation.
We're talking marriage situation, you know, that the marriage is on the rocks already. And that one, and they feel that because the marriage is on the rock, that in her mind, that the guy
so the baby
is going to use that against him from state to stay.
Okay.
If you understand what I mean, in her mind, she's like, well, because I'm pregnant now, he's going to say it's my fault that I'm pregnant and that I'm, you know, you're trying to trap me to stay.
Okay.
I've heard of that happening in marriages.
Is there any statistics on that? Because I'm still trying to wrap my head around this whole thing. And I just want to know, are there any statistics of abortions that happen inside of a marriage?
Yes. And I will get to that at the conclusion. Y'all are way ahead of me. Yes. That's okay. Part of my conclusion. But good chat, y'all. I want to move along. Again, got a lot to cover here. I want to ask y'all this question. Why is pro-choice the opposite of pro-life? You know, shouldn't it be pro-death?
Yep.
Should it be pro-death, fellas? Anybody? Pro-death, pro-life? And I guess I ask it this way. Do you think people who lean pro-choice more often choose abortion over life?
What is it when it's the case of a 15-year-old girl that got raped? What is it then? I'm just, you know.
Yeah, and that was my point too. Good point, brother, is that I just think it's a slippery slope. When you limit one, then you get into a gray area as to, well, what's the next acceptable? Well, was it statutory rape? And then is that acceptable? And, so it goes on and on and on. So while you may not agree with abortion as a form of birth control, you may agree with it in another sense. And where do you draw the line?
Yeah. Good question.
Good words. Anybody else?
You take abortion at its heart, okay? No matter how somebody gets pregnant, you are still dealing with another life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
When abortion at its heart, has very little to do with the woman as it does to do with the child. And, at what point is it okay to kill children? And what I have found, and I've had this discussion many times, I'm very, very engaged in this situation, and most people that say that they're quote-unquote pro-choice, they say things like, well, I wouldn't have an abortion, but I wouldn't tell somebody else that they can't have one. Not pro-abortion. I don't think people should use that. But if that's what they choose, I don't think that the state should tell them they shouldn't. That's usually what I hear from the quote-unquote pro-choice folks.
Yeah, let me restate my question, and I'll actually answer it. It was kind of a trick question, but the question I stated was, why is pro-choice the opposite of pro-life? Should it be pro-death? Both pro-choice and pro-life are examples of political framing, which means they're terms which purposely try to define their philosophies in the best possible light, while at the same time attempting to describe their opposition in the worst possible light. So, for example, pro-choice implies that the alternative viewpoint is anti-choice, while pro-life implies the alternative viewpoint is pro-death or anti-life. So, I'll just answer that. I want to move on to the next issue here. And it's kind of tied back to what the first question was, but, what if your wife, you're in a marital situation, what if your wife got pregnant, but you didn't want the baby? Due to financial reasons, your status in life, your job or whatever, you didn't want any more kids. Or for some other reason, would it be selfish for you to request for her to have an abortion?
If I could kind of go back to...
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
First question. Kind of with this whole thing being said, I'm going to have to make this short and sweet because my wife is not here at the time. And when I found out what the topic was this week, I had to be on the call. And I fall in both of those subjects of being the boyfriend, the girlfriend, and having to go through that situation. And, you know, the question is, should you have an equal say in what you should choose? And my monkey wrench out of the whole thing wasn't me, wasn't her. It was her mom.
Say again, bro. It was her mom?
It was her mom. I mean, it was no secret, of course, you know, yes, we did have sex before marriage and things like that. And it's no secret, you know, I've kind of, you know, brought my life situation out in most of the talks that we've had on here. And that was one of those situations where I did not have a say. And I still remember to this day, you know, it wasn't where it was, you know, 5 months in or anything like that. It was really early in the pregnancy and things like that. But I wasn't allowed to go. I fought it. And it's still upsetting to this day. She did not want it, but her mother just thought it was the best thing for her to do. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
And, you know, so, I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, you get to talk about if you have the person that you're going to marry, your spouse now, back when you were dating and courting and everything, and being that us men on this phone call right now, you know, we're children of God, you know, we're the head of household, we're Christian men, you know, we should have had these talks with our spouse, and we kind of did it in reverse. You know, we didn't have this talk when it came down to it, you know, because we were doing the boyfriend-girlfriend stage, we were doing the dating stage, you know, the sex was in there, and you knew the consequences of it when you lay down with somebody. It's, I mean, you know, this is simple, you know what I mean?
So the mother basically decided for y'all?
For us.
Wow.
And
how old were you?
I was 21 at the time. She was 18. So, you know, like I said, to this day, I mean, this is the woman I'm married to this day. So, I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, she turns her life around. You know, she gives her life to God. And this is a conversation and a topic that we will never discuss again. You know, we'll never discuss that again. It was never an option again. You know, sometimes you feel like your hands are tied behind your back. And at that time, I felt helpless. I felt no control. I felt no control over the decision. And, you know, I mean, it's the worst possible thing that you could actually think about. I've lived it. I've been through it. I don't wish it upon anybody. You know, you do have life situations and circumstances where you have to actually sit back and really think, does this child really deserve that type of life? You know, whether it's a rape or incest or anything like that. That's one of those things that you really, really have to dig deep into your soul and ask God for that help. But at that time, I felt helpless.
What has that done with your relationship with your mother-in-law?
I tell you what, you know, our two kids now, she can't get enough of them. I think there was a time where, you know, I think her and her mom actually sat down and even talked about that situation. You know, she was still in college, and she just think that, you know, at the time that it could have possibly ruined her life. And, you know, I'm a hardworking man. You know, I mean, I take care of, you know, everything. I take care of what's mine. I do, you know what I mean? I'm not one of those guys who had to go the fast way to get to get to where I'm at. You know, I did it the slow, I did it the hard way, I did it the grinding way. So I think it was early in that relationship where she just was unsure of the kind of person that I was. You know what I'm saying? So she did what any other mother would try to, you know, do as far as protecting their child. She was trying to protect her child, and I give her that. But just not to have that decision, not to be a part of that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, as a man at that time, you know, I felt very, very, very helpless. But we have two beautiful children now. You know, God has given us another chance to actually, you know, bless us with beautiful, beautiful kids. And she calls my son her son. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, you know, if you've never been through it, you know, you sit down and you say, you know, nobody has a right to heal a child. I mean, and I definitely agree with what that brother said. I agree with everything that everybody is saying. But to live through it, man, it's one of those life-altering decisions. At least
you knew, brother, you know, and that just ties into my next segment is, you know, what if you were told after the fact, you know, your wife, the lady you was dealing with, you know, had a sexual relationship, just, you know, came home one day, was like, yeah, you know, by the way, I was pregnant a couple months. And, you know, without your knowledge or input, just went and had the procedure done and, you know, it's like, hey, what's for dinner? I mean, how would that make you feel if you found out after the fact?
I'm out. I'm done. I'm saying it off the top because to answer your previous question, I would at least want to have the opportunity to talk about it and to listen, you know, I'm going to put a better word on it. I would at least hope we'd be able to dialogue about it,
yeah.
You know, because sometimes people don't take talk or talk at or talk to, they don't take that well. So I would hope we'd get a chance to dialogue about it in some capacity. And if something like that happened where I found out after the fact, you know, whether you told me or I'm flipping through some records or something at the house and I find something because you didn't put it away like you thought you did or whatever, I mean, there's nothing to talk about. Because basically what you're telling me, or what you, not even telling me, you showed me, is that I can't really trust you. I mean, and that's a big trust thing. Because it's like, that, to that magnitude, that's something else. I mean, that's I don't think there's any patchwork to that. To say, oh, you know, we're going to work on it, we're going to get better. You know, I mean, you took a life that I didn't even know about.
That's the whole trail.
Right, and that I didn't even know about it. You gave me no opportunity to get excited. I guess this is it. This is what it comes down to. You took away from me my ability to have any type of feeling. You decided it for me. And I think as human beings, that is one of the most important things with being able to exist, is to have emotion, to have feeling, to have a chance to at least be able to carry it out whatever way you want to carry it out. And if you're trying to decide that for me, for whatever reason, that ain't going to work with me because, as you all know, from me being on the call, well, my emotions are on my sleeve. So if you try to take a sleeve or two away from me, we're going to have a problem. Situation, it's not going to be one where we can mend it. We can't sew that sleeve back on. That's impossible. We can't get that back.
And on top of that, I mean, to go, you know, off top of that, to me, that would actually make me feel like less of a man. Because if she was to make that decision without me like that, in that fashion where she would tell me after the fact, that means that she doesn't have any trust in me that I'm capable enough to handle that.
Yeah, that's a deal breaker. I'm done. I'm out. Thanks for playing.
I can agree with all those.
Good words, fellas. Good words. But on the flip side, on that, you know, just to tie back to that, those words is that, were you ever in a dating relationship? You know, where you kind of casually mentioned, you know, it's like, hey, you know, we can get that abortion, honey. And that was not even an option. You know, has anybody, you know, experienced that? You know, where y'all was, you know, dating and, oh, somebody's, you know, late and say, hey, baby, you know, we can, just, you know, I got a couple bills right here. We can do that. And she was like, what? You know, anybody experienced that?
I got a little different story, a testimony to come from. But you heard how adamant I am today against abortion.
Yeah.
But it wasn't always that way. You know, back in my high school days, it was like, hey, you get pregnant, you know what's going to happen.
Mm.
I mean, it wasn't even an option. I mean, you're going to get an abortion kind of deal. I mean, you know, you just get rid of it. I mean, that was what it was. You just get rid of it, you know.
Mm.
I dated many, many girls, and one day one of them got pregnant. And it was like, well, that's what you do. And just like the brother said, now his was a little different than mine. Mine was like, hey, you know, this is what we do, all right? And that's what we did. And it didn't hit me until a couple of years later I ended up marrying that girl and got pregnant and was pregnant with a set of twins, and she went into labor early. And at 6 months, a little less than 6 months, she had those babies that were born alive. They were both just under 1 pound, and they actually died in my hands. And I actually saw what we are, quote-unquote, aborting, and my life changed. And I went, oh, my God, this is what I did. And from that point on, it wasn't a fetus. It was a baby. They were perfect little babies. I mean, tiny, two little babies could fit right into the palm of your hand with perfect fingers. They were opening their eyes, gasping for air. They were just too young at the time. Medical, you know, a one-pound baby, they couldn't save, and they died in my hand. And I saw what women are walking into abortion clinics today and aborting and calling it, you know, whatever they want to call it. We're killing our children. And it took me a long time. It took me until I became a Christian, and God brought that back to me, and I had to ask for forgiveness for that I could be okay. I couldn't even talk about it. It was a situation, just like somebody said, that I went through something and, you know, we can't even talk about that anymore. That was the way it was until I became a Christian and God brought that in my face and said, look at what you did. You know, and I asked for forgiveness, and today I can talk about that. But I couldn't even talk about it because I was so horrified for what I had done.
Good words. And I just want to, you know, ask the question, because Andrew brought up something very key in his testimony. I appreciate that, Andrew. But is having an abortion, does anybody think that that's actually safer than childbirth? Anybody believe that having an abortion is actually safer than going through the actual childbirth process? Anybody want to believe that?
I don't believe that at all, to be honest with you. I really, really don't believe that at all. I've seen, you know, specials, and, you know, you go to these clinics and you get insight and you get, you know, actually play-by-play procedures on that thing, on things like that. And to me, it's not safer. I don't care, you know, if it's easier, faster, or whatnot. To me, it's just not safer.
Yeah,
the honest truth with any of those surgeries of any capacity, or, you know, none of that stuff is safe. I mean, people go in for tonsils getting removed and don't come out. I mean, so nothing is really safe. And in this aspect, I don't think that one is any more safer than the other.
Yeah, well, y'all are both right. Actually, abortion is not safer than childbirth. And these are just some of the things that can result from an abortion. And I'll read: bladder injury, bowel injury, infection. Women who have had an abortion increase their risk of breast cancer by 50%. Hemorrhaging, so much bleeding from the abortion that requires a blood transfusion, and we know the risk associated with blood transfusion. Sterility, that means they can't ever have any children anymore. More miscarriages later in life. Effects on future pregnancies, just like the example that Andrew mentioned. God rest those children's souls. But her next baby will be twice as likely to die in the first few months of life. Her next baby will be 3 to 4 times as likely to die in the last months of the baby's first year of life. Her next baby is more likely to be born premature with all the dangerous and costly problems that entails. And failed abortions are also relatively common. This means that the pregnancy continues on, even though the mother has endured all the dangers and the costs and the emotions of going through an abortion. So it is not safer than childbirth, no matter what anybody tries to make you believe. But would anybody I had to write this question because I've actually heard about it. Would anybody suggest or agree to an abortion if the doctor informed you that your unborn child was not going to be that boy that you wanted, or that girl that your wife wanted? Would anybody suggest or agree to an abortion with that? The child is not going to be the sex you wanted. You got two girls and got a third one on the way. It's like, man, can I get a boy?
And I want to answer that question.
Go ahead.
I have a nephew who is, when he was born, he was actually inside the womb for another 18 hours with his umbilical cord wrapped around his neck. He is not able to speak. He is now 3 years old, unable to speak, unable to move. He's weighs about the size of maybe a newborn. I mean, very, very light child. But is very loved unconditionally. And in no way, just, you know what I mean, that not once did you know, my brother-in-law and his wife decide to say, you know what, I don't want him to live like this. You know, not knowing what was going to happen, you know what I mean? It's one of those things when they're a baby, you're thinking, okay, the baby's going to come out, the baby's going to be healthy. But now we know that he'll never be that way. He will always need to be cared for. He may never be able to speak. He's now getting motoring skills. But just to say, hey, this is not the sex that I wanted, man, that would never be an option. I got the best of both worlds. I got, you know what I mean? I got a boy and a girl. You know what I mean? So I'm looking at it like, wow, no matter what, just to see what my brother-in-law and his wife went through, no matter what, even to just for my wife to be able to give birth to a child, live through and see that child, you can't ask for no better feeling. So that is never an option to say, you know what, this wasn't even the sex that I wanted. My first child's not the sex I wanted, a boy or I wanted a girl. That should never be anybody's option in anybody's mind.
Yeah.
Anybody's mind.
But you actually touched on something that's actually more prevalent and more prone, is that when the doctor gives you and the wife, you know, notifies you that the child's going to be special needs, you know, most of the time, folks are like, no, you know, I can't deal with that. Anybody experience that? Doctor diagnosed, say, oh, man, you're going to have a Down syndrome baby. They were like, oh, no, you know, we got to get rid of this. And another definition of abortion is something that is regarded as poorly made or poorly done. So just a thought. What about selective abortion? Do y'all know what selective abortion is? Anybody ever heard that term? Dr. Andrew, you know what selective abortion is?
When I believe it's when somebody has multiple embryos and they go in and eliminate one.
Exactly. You're exactly right. Thank you, doctor. Yes, a good example of selective abortion is multi-fetal pregnancies. And, for example, a doctor's faced with quadruplets, you know, will go in and selectively kill two in the womb on the supposition that survival of two has better odds than four. What do y'all think on that? Anybody want to comment on that? Selective abortion.
I can't even fathom that idea, man. I'm just here just listening to that question and to know that, you know what I mean, somebody can go in and play Russian roulette, you know what I'm saying, with that. I can't even, I'm sitting like in my bathroom right now and on the phone and cutting my hair, and every time I hear a question come out like that, I'm putting the clippers down.
Yeah.
And I just can't even fathom the idea that you have to go through that choice.
How would he know which two? How would he know which two? I mean, how would you do that? How would you do that? Picking out two out of four. Oh, we're gonna choose this one and that one.
You know what I'd really like to hear, Rodney?
Yeah.
I would really like to hear the quote unquote pro choice call on this same topic. I think
this is it. This might have,
you know, it's amazing that, you know, one of the things that is just unfathomable to me, you know, abortion is horrible, but I don't know if you ever heard of partial birth abortion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's in your, you know, hold on your seatbelts or not time.
No, it's not. Go ahead, speak on it.
I don't know if you guys have ever heard of what's called a partial birth abortion. Basically, it's a third trimester abortion. And what they do is they induce labor. And while the head is still in the birth canal, they puncture the back of the brainstem, and they inject saline solution into the brain while the baby is still inside, partially born and partially in the birth canal, killing the baby, and then giving birth to a dead baby. And that's legal here in the United States and totally supported. Well, you said don't say anything about politics, right?
Yeah, no politics, yeah.
It's so horrendous that I just can't even, it's hard to even talk about that.
Yeah, good words. But what about, we talked a lot about abortions, but what about miscarriages? Now, I know that, a lot more folks have probably experienced that, but, the definition of a miscarriage is the expulsion of a fetus before it is viable, especially between the third and the seventh months of pregnancy. And a miscarriage is involuntary, spontaneous, natural. Has anybody ever been, involved with a woman, that has had a miscarriage, friend or relative that has, had a miscarriage? Anybody involved, had that experience?
Well, my wife did about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, and it was devastating. I mean, we lost our child. Went through the same grieving process as losing a child. It was devastating to us.
Anybody else had a friend or relative, have a miscarriage and the ramifications of that would happen afterwards? And actually, another statistic is the likelihood of a miscarriage is actually 3 times higher after having an abortion. But has anybody ever requested that your lady have an abortion and she actually went through with it just because she really loved you and wanted to make you happy? Anybody experienced that? Do tell. I'm on your street. She actually went through with it just because she really loved you and really wanted to make you happy. Anybody experience that? Okay, all right. I'll move on. Has anybody ever dated a woman that has had an abortion or multiple abortions before meeting you? Nobody. Wow.
Well, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to use a different case scenario, right?
Okay, go ahead, brother.
I dated a young lady, and she was pregnant with my child, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to have an abortion, and I told her that I wasn't in agreement with her. And, she aborted the baby anyway. Mm-hmm. And, I told her, before that I told her that I would take care of her. She didn't have to do that, And it wasn't something that I believed in, and she decided, her body, she did what she wanted to do. Me like a fool, like I didn't even date her, and she got pregnant again, and the same thing happened, and when it happened, fortune, and she asked me to go with her, and I told her that's not something I believe in, and I said, but do you really want my true feelings? I knew I was kind of harsh, but I told her, she said, well, what's your true feelings? I said, well, once a murderer, always a murderer. I know it was kind of cruel, but I didn't say that, though.
Wow. But what kind of, with those abortions, Andrew just spoke on his situation, his wife, but with the miscarriage, but what kind of emotional baggage, did you notice, in her, or did you, did it change how you felt about her, or how you treated her, that she's, like you say, calling her a murderer?
Absolutely, it changed everything, man. To the point I couldn't even, be in any kind of relationship or wanted anything to do with that person, because, if that's something that I don't agree with, obviously. Obviously, I was doing wrong anyway, but if I wasn't, and I wasn't equally yoked in that area either, so why continue on and being unsafe and unprotected in what I was doing, but yet set myself up for her, the heartache, So I had to walk away from it.
So basically, since y'all broke up, that was basically the underlying reason why y'all broke up?
Oh, absolutely, no question.
Wow.
It was done.
Hmm.
done. It was over with nothing else. It was nothing. It was nothing that could salvage it, man. Because you know, children is one thing. You know that I believe in. I believe that if you go to a place of being unprotected and having a child, and you know that there's a possibility involved, I don't believe that you should get rid of it. If that was the case, you protect yourself, or ask the person to use protection if that's not something that you want.
Yeah, words. Anybody else dated a woman, had an abortion or multiple abortions before meeting you or while she was with you?
I got a question, Rodney.
Yes, sir.
Is there anybody on the call that believes if their wife went ahead and got an abortion without their okaying, does anybody believe that their marriage could sustain, you know, through that?
I think so. I mean, I think it'd be difficult. I think it'd be really difficult, but, you know, I think it could. I mean, I think it's, you know, along the lines of infidelity or, you know, it'll be tough, but it can be done. You know, it's not impossible, I say that. I don't know if anybody else wants to answer your question, but.
I think it is impossible. I don't think that, again, going back to what I said, I mean, you just basically made a decision and you've done things without me. So therefore, for us to think that we're capable of continuing to go on together, I mean, you obviously are flying solo. I mean, this is not a joint venture or this is not a marriage, you know, for you to be able to do so. I mean, I would even go as far to say that, you know, something like that is worse than infidelity.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, hands down worse than infidelity. I mean, I would try to maybe give it a shot, maybe. Probably not. But I'm just saying, infidelity thing. With this, and then you come and tell me after the fact, oh, no. There's no way. How can you work through that? It's a huge trust thing. And it's a huge part of being able to come to the table and have a seat and to dialogue, as I said before. You taking my chair up. It's like musical chairs. You know how to go around the table or whatever, and then they snatch a chair out, and one person is left without a chair? You snatched my chair up. We stood up together and basically said that we're going to work and we're going to talk about things. We're going to, you know, work through this and blah, blah, blah. You took my chair away from the table. And who are you to do that?
Live radio
was turned, you would probably be just as hurt, if not devastated, and probably feel the exact same way. Mm-hmm. And to think that basically, I mean, you took a life, and you didn't even include me. Or on the other side, it's perceived that I was in agreement with you if you're telling people that you did this.
Wow.
Because you're telling somebody, whether it's your mom, whether it's your girlfriends, your sister, you telling somebody, and you're just going to tell the story.
You looked at it in a different light.
Right, and you're just going to tell the story. You're not even going to say, well, you know what, I never told him. You might tell some people that. Some people might know, but there might be some people that don't get that part. So then they think that both of us were in cahoots with making this decision when I really did not have a seat at the table for this. There's no way for us to work through that. How am I going to expect to be able to go? I mean, I don't know. Rodney, you have to elaborate on that one, how you think.
I will, and I think that, I mean, anything is workable. You know, some more difficult than others. You know, and as you say, I know the trust issue is there, but, you know, I mean, you gotta put it in perspective. Say, you know, this is child number four. You know, you got three kids, y'all been married or whatever. I think it's, you know, it'd be different if y'all had zero. You know, and she was like, I ain't ready to have kids yet. I'm still.
They're still killing your child. What is the difference if you're 10?
Right, and it's not about the numbers, the fact that she did it without telling you.
Yeah, I mean, I feel you on that, but I think the whole thing is that what you're saying is that this is unworkable. You know, it's like you can't work through it. And I'm just saying the alternative, I say it is worth it. You can work through it. It's not impossible.
If you're trying to play a game where you can see if you can stand the ultimate test of your relationship, that is a test for you.
Yeah,
okay.
It is.
Exactly. If my wife said, I killed the baby, and I said, okay, baby, we're still cool.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't be like that, Andrew. But I mean, it would take some. You know, you would have to get some counseling. I mean, you have to get some. I mean, it would be difficult. I'm not saying that it's not going to be difficult. I'm just saying that it's possible.
Yeah, Rodney.
I'm telling you that it's impossible.
I agree with you, Rodney. And not to get too far off the topic, but you know, I think this is a Christian call of Christian brothers, and I think the same way we're obligated to protect the life of our children, I think we're obligated to protect our marriage as well. And that doesn't mean walking away because your spouse does something that you don't want them to do, regardless of what that is.
I'm not that versed in it.
Yeah.
But there's got to be some things that are automatic deal breakers.
We got all types of folks on here, you know, believers and non-believers, you know.
Yeah,
we want all perspectives. But
right, and this might be a deal breaker. that's severe. This is not even like you dabbled over. You could have, let's just think about the whole Tiger Woods thing. You done had 15 people come out the woodwork and say that you've been sleeping with them. Okay, we might be able to dabble with that. But you and I, we're married, and we had a child that I didn't even know about that you took the life of? It goes back to what somebody said earlier, timing. So that means you essentially could drive off to take Johnny to practice one day. Back, because you made the decision that Johnny just was not right for us right now.
Wow.
I mean, that's essentially what you did. And you didn't tell me that, hey, you know, I'm going to drown Johnny today over at the lake. You just did it. I mean, it's the same thing.
I definitely feel you. I definitely feel you on that, and that's the real-life aspect of it. But, you know, you take a wedding vow, and you know, that's just not something that you should throw away without an effort. Period.
If I can add on something to that, and Rodney actually brought the statistic out about as far as it being not safer than going through an actual pregnancy. What if she did that without notifying you or notifying you after the fact, and then that messes up your chances or her chances of even conceiving naturally ever?
Well, nobody believes in fighting for marriage more than me. Trust me when I say that. But for somebody to say that there's no such thing as a deal breaker, I don't think you're being honest. There are deal breakers.
Yep.
Okay? There are deal breakers. And these are things that my wife and I counsel people to talk about before they get married. Okay? There are deal breakers. You know, for maybe one thing and somebody else, but there really are deal breakers. And you kill my child, And you take that away from me, that's a tough one for me. Now I'm not saying that if I was in that situation, God couldn't touch my heart and soften it. But from this point, and I'm kind of like my buddy Brian, you know, girl walked away and did that, I couldn't look at her. Once a murderer, always a murderer. You killed part of me. I mean, if you stabbed me, we could get through it. But you killed my child.
Now, I understand what you're saying, but, you know, at the same point, we're talking about a life is a life is a life, right? You know, whether it's in the womb or not, and you know, it's wrong to take that life. Well, your vows are your vows are your vows, and that's it, and you're right. It's not going to be easy, and like you said, they are deal breakers. The key point is you said you counsel people to talk about that beforehand. Hopefully that stuff comes out. But if it doesn't, I mean, you know, I'm just putting it out there. There should be some sort of effort, not just walk away. Oh, you did this, I'm done.
That's what I say. Thank you, brother. That's what I say. I mean, it will be tough. That's what I – don't get me wrong, fellas. It will be tough. But, I'm like the brother just said. I mean, you gotta try to work it out where y'all just like, you know what, my bag is packed. You are crazy. I'm out of here. Period.
Sure. Well, let me clarify. I guess my bags aren't packed. They're almost
they're
packed. They're going to be packed. I'm going to tell you that. They're going to be packed. But I am going to try to figure it out. Because I'm going to ask you, how did we get to this point? dialogue with me now, obviously, because we've got nothing else, so you might as well dialogue with me now, and then I'm probably still going to pack. Because it's like, going back to the example given, so she does this, right, then she lets you know, then jeopardizes her chances of having any other kids, and you find out later that you can't have any kids because she did this unbeknownst to you at some point. You still going to try to work through that?
I got to tell y'all this. Guest 14 said his bag stay packed.
It's his bag stay packed.
Hey,
I got a how do you work through that? So she decided to make a decision for you, took your seat away from the table. Now she's basically sterilized herself to the point that she can't have any children. She is done. And then she tells you that's why. How are you going to work through that?
You know, we have a brother that went through this on the phone. Brian, I think that was you, Brian, wasn't it?
What's that? Say it again.
Was that you, Brian, that talked about the girlfriend that did that to you?
Oh, yeah, man, that was Jack.
Okay. Because I've never been through that, but do you believe that your marriage could survive that?
Oh, hell no. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Oh, no.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry about that. Hey, that would work for me, man, in no form whatsoever. I mean, in a marriage, and I mean a part of me, okay. And I'm like this, don't enter in if that's not something that you want, you know. Don't interact if that's not something that you want, you know. Don't become involved if that's not something that you want. Inform me ahead of time. Don't catch me off guard and act like Goma Pyle and give me the surprise, you know.
Wait a minute. I'm gonna stop you right there, brother. You talk about from the beginning. A lot of times, you know, before we inform anything, you know, we done the do. You know, so I mean,
that's true.
You know what I'm saying? So it might not be, you know, something that you talk about to say, you know what, you know, if we, you know, I know we've been dating 6 months, but if I wind up pregnant, I'm going to the abortion clinic. I mean, that conversation may not come up.
Oh, it'd be done.
Yeah, go ahead, Tony. Go ahead, Tony.
And we're talking about abortion. And then we're also talking about deal breakers.
Yes.
Now, what if your wife slips up and has a relationship outside the marriage?
Uh-oh.
For whatever reason.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to take it there.
Uh-oh.
And then,
Hold on, Tony.
On the market, man.
Go ahead.
Then she becomes pregnant by this other man. And then she doesn't get an abortion.
Oh, hell.
And then you don't find out till later that you've been raising a child that's not yours.
Whoa, you took it another step, brother. That might be these brothers tonight.
Is that a deal breaker? Is that a deal breaker? I just want to know.
I mean, especially if representing the head of household, and I guess sometimes you just have to step into that man, that role of a man. I mean, there is a shortage of those kind of men these days, as it is, you know, not being father to, you know, children that are actually their child. You know what I'm saying?
Especially when you have children with your wife.
But this wasn't your child, though. This is some other man's child. Where is he? He should be taking care of his child.
I'm not talking about step parents. I'm talking about blatant cheating. That produced an unwed baby.
Right. So then we need to find this dude, and he needs to come take care of his child.
Where's my brother at? Because I think that, you know, I will say this, that I'm telling you, this is, you got two or three kids with your wife, and yes, she steps out, and yes, you know, she is confirmed that she's pregnant by some other guy. I think you got to make a stab at trying to make it work, you know, with this other man's baby, maybe staying in your house.
You're telling me that that's not a deal breaker.
That's a deal breaker.
Yeah. Do you really think
your wife is going to sit there and try to work with you with some other child in the house with the baby that she had with you, but this is another woman's baby in the house and going to sit there? It's not going to happen.
You don't know that.
I think we know that.
If it was switched around, if you went out and played around and got some chick pregnant, you know, y'all know that this stuff happens every day. You know, your wife will be standing by you and say, you know what, yeah, we're going to work it out, period.
This is not Cadillac Records. He's going to drop the baby off today and said it was your baby. Damn it, he's gone.
It's a deal breaker. Listen. It's a deal breaker.
Hold on,
if you want to.
But wait a minute. We got to think about something here. Remember, we admitted that we had a household. But we
Thank
got
you.
More to think about.
Thank you.
We can't put us first. I mean,
Thank
what
you.
Do we say I do? We can't put us first because if you just walk out, you're walking out on your own kid.
No. I'm a grown up. It's my legal action to make sure that I take care of my children. But me and my wife have a dilemma that's probably not patchable at this point.
Unless you leave with your kid and say, you got your kid, you made your bed, you and that man handle that, but I'm going to take care of these two. Now you got a different story. Because if that ever happens, I'm walking out with my two kids and say, you on your own.
Right.
Go ahead, Tony.
Guess 14's got a question. At what point do you say I don't?
Well, I think we've outlined two or three deal breakers already.
No. I think that y'all, it sounds like, you know, for guess 14, I think that it's key that you don't just automatically say I don't. You know, I ain't having this. Another man's baby? No, I'm gone. I think that that's what we have to clarify is that you try to work. Maybe I'm not saying that you can't work through it. I'm just saying.
Okay. Look.
Y'all don't sound like y'all want to make the effort. Y'all like, oh, that's a deal breaker. I'm out. Peace.
So now. Oh, I'm getting ready to take it here. So now we talk about earlier about the anti-abortion, and more than half the people on the phone are definitely against abortion. Let's say that same wife has an affair. Now we all know that we can at some point forgive our wives for infidelity because we would want the same thing for us at some point. That's not totally out of the question. Let's say the infidelity part happens and she does get pregnant by the other man,
right,
and then she has an abortion and you find out about it.
Tony, hold on a minute. That's pretty heavy, bro. And what if going back to my earlier question, what if she doesn't tell you? You know, he's like, oh, man, you know, I'm sleeping with Chuck at the job or whatever, and when I done got pregnant, I need to go take care of this before my husband finds out.
As we said on every call before this call, and you fellas have pointed out to me, what you do in the dark will definitely come to the light.
Come to the light, exactly.
But at some point, and when I finally do catch wind of it,
it's going to be an abortion, huh, bro? Somebody going to get aborted.
Game over. I'll holler.
I mean,
this is the honest truth, fellas. I understand what we're talking about with being the head of household. You need to maybe at least take a step back and think about this because you're still the head of household. But at what point do taking on some of these things kind of impede your ability to be the head of household? Because you've got to admit that, yeah, okay, I'm going to try to do the right thing, be there, blah, 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 took these vows, blah, 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 yiggity, yiggity. Yes. But at the same time, some of this stuff is going to impede it. And at what point are you doing more damage by staying just to say, I'm going to be the head of household?
brother, I'm just saying you got to make the attempt. You know, the head of household is not, you know, say, what, you pregnant? Bag's back gone. That's not
what the head of household does. Listen. Impress me by just staying out of jail. Impress me.
Good words.
Impress me by not murdering somebody.
Yeah. I think you should beat for him tonight.
It just depends. It depends on, like, what round you're in. You go to your opposing corners. You sit on that bench. Take a little swig of water, and you decide whether you're going to throw in the towel or not. It's a lot of contemplating that you actually have to do. It depends on how much you love your family. You know, people slip up. I mean, it is what it is. And really, you can honestly say nobody really knows what they're actually going to do unless they go through it.
Exactly.
You know, you're in hopes that you never have to go through it. But, you know, men sitting on this phone right now, if you do love your spouse the way you say you love your spouse.
Say that.
You know what I mean? You're really going to have to go sit on the bench, take a knee, and really assess what you are about to do.
Well, I can tell you one thing. When I sit on that bench and take that knee, it's not going to be in this house.
I have another question. on this one, guys.
Go ahead.
I have a monkey wrench. The monkey wrench is this, right? Okay, so what if you were dating your wife at the time, I mean your girlfriend at the time, which became your wife, but she was in a relationship with somebody else before you that you were unaware of, and she got pregnant, and you thought it was your child, and you raised that child for 10 years, and all of a sudden you found out that child wasn't yours because the child needed a blood transfusion or something.
I know somebody who had that situation.
Yeah.
And he about lost his mind when he found out, because she ended up going back to the guy who was the father of the children, but he about lost his mind when he found out his children weren't his.
Sure.
Yeah.
That was a deal breaker, you know.
You said children, plural?
Yeah, he had two. He had two, and it was, I mean, he had been raising them for at least 10 years. And she had started acting a little bit funny, and they just moved out. And I guess the kicker was the guy was, I mean, he was a good father, good husband, as far as we know, and made a ton of money. So everybody was like, well, what reason does she have to just suddenly start, you know, just want to move out and all this other stuff? But come to find out that the whole time she had been seeing the other guy, and the kids weren't his. And like I said, he needed psychological help after it was all over and done with. So
yeah, I can imagine.
Wow.
Yeah, I would have to do that too.
That's heavy.
Yeah, let me keep this moving along. Good words, everybody, fellas. But I wanted to definitely that lady that's had an abortion or multiple abortions before meeting you. I want to go over some quick statistics before I go on to the next segment, but. Post-abortion syndrome is when women suffer a range of mental and psychological problems, and these are some of the things that that may result after that abortion. Recurrent dreams of the abortion experience, avoidance of emotional attachment, relationship problems, sleep disturbances, guilt about surviving, memory impairment, hostile outbursts, suicidal thoughts or actions, depression or drug and alcohol abuse, and these problems may occur days or years later, 60% of the folks, the ladies surveyed, felt feelings of guilt. 49% had feelings of regret and remorse. 55% reported crying and depression. And 35% stated an inability to forgive herself for having the abortion. And also 28% attempted suicide. And lastly, in a study by a post-abortion researcher, it was found that 98% of the women regretted having had that abortion. And 72% said their abortion did not improve their life. 20% reported a nervous breakdown, and 10% were hospitalized for psychiatric care. And of the 260 women surveyed, over 60% said their abortion actually made their lives worse. So, keep that in mind. But, I want to drop this and, really quickly. I think Andrew said it earlier, but, here's a question. Does life really begin at conception or sometime thereafter? Anybody, does life really begin at conception or sometime thereafter? Give me the goods. anybody.
You got nothing there.
You have an A or a B. Does life begin at conception or sometime thereafter? A or B?
There is no magic time, at 8 months or 6 months or anything like that. You don't get pregnant with a fetus. You don't have a fetus. You have a baby. And that's a baby at 6 months, 3 months, 2 months, 1 week, or one day. Still a baby, and it's alive. And if you don't do anything to kill it, you will have a baby.
Good words. Anybody want to disagree with that?
I would say conception.
I would just
go ahead, Tony.
I would say conception.
Yeah, I would agree with Tony because, the very sake of the word, conception means beginning.
Mm.
Yeah, no happens at 2 months, okay? I mean, within weeks, a heart is established. You have to define what life is. And that's the bottom line. And life doesn't just appear when they pop out of the birth control, the birth canal. I mean, crazy to go with what the abortionists believe ends at birth.
Well, yeah, I mean, and again, if we look at something from a biblical perspective, we look at Jeremiah, and God speaking to Jeremiah, saying, "Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I ordained you." He had gave him life. He was already existing in God's mind.
Yeah, and let me give y'all the actual scientific says from that perspective. One sperm fertilizes the mother's egg cell. At that very moment, a new and unique individual is formed, and all of the inherited features of this new person are already set, including whether it's a boy or a girl, the color of the eyes, the color of the hair, even the dimples of the cheeks, and he or she is smaller than a grain of sugar. But the instructions are already present for all this person will ever become. The first cell soon divides into two. Each of these new cells then divides again and again and again. Blood vessels begin to form. The foundation of the brain, spinal cord, and nervous system are laid. The heart begins to beat, unsurely at first, gaining strength day by day. The eyes begin to develop. The earliest stages of the ears are now present. The lungs begin to form. Two tiny arms make their first appearance, and the budding legs follow. The beginnings of the mouth take shape. The nose starts to develop. Blood flows in the baby's veins but stays separate from the mother's blood, and the tongue begins to form, and finally the face makes its first appearance. And what I just explained to you is all happens within the first 30 days after conception.
Yeah, but Rodney,
yes,
Rodney, I don't think that you're getting anybody that's pro-abortion on this call. I don't really think, I mean, we all get that. You see what I'm saying? We all know, you know, we all get that part of it. I think basically it's more of the reaction. If our wife were to do it without us being involved or something like that.
Yeah. Well, the definition of life used to be was viability outside the womb. Okay? And that was the standard of life. Viability outside the womb. Okay? The problem is, 30 years ago, viability outside the womb was at about 7 months. Okay, today viability outside the womb is somewhere between 4.5 and 5 months because of medical technology. So you can't answer that question except with at conception. Because viability outside the womb changes as our medical technology gets better and better and neonatal care gets better and better.
And that's the whole point of, you know, why I was saying that, Tony and Andrews, that, you know,
yes,
just to tie in, that basically a lot of people are on here are probably pro-life. Some aren't. But the whole thing is that unless you actually get the concept of that all those things happen within the first 30 days, that's going to make you think twice, you know, about when it comes up, you know, is that going to be even on the table? You know, when you have all those things going on within the first 30 days, you know, which is a lot of times when it's like, oh, man, I need to take care of this or whatever. But, you know, good work.
But again, but again now, and somebody once used the term slippery slope because it's very slippery. How do you sell that first 30 days, all that you said, how do you sell that to the 14-year-old that was raped by her uncle and got pregnant? How do you sell that to her?
And that's where, again, I think that the rape, the incest, the health, all of that is not the majority, not even close. So I think that's so minuscule as far as when abortions take place. You know, we ain't even talking about that. We talking about it's an inconvenience. You know, we know those things happen. But, you know, from the standpoint of, you know, where I want to focus tonight is that that is so minuscule. And I will get to more facts, you know, before I close this down, that it's really not even, you know, relevant to talk about. That's how minuscule it is when it comes to the number of abortions that are completed every day, you know, in the United States and around the world. You know, it's so, you know, and people, you know, I don't want people to get confused to think that, oh, you know, that was a rape situation or whatever. No, it was birth control. It was an inconvenience. You know, so that's what, you know, that's what I want to make sure that is clear.
I don't
that.
Know, man. I mean, I don't know, because those are the arguments that come up when they're talking about banning abortion. Those are
it's
the same arguments that come up.
a pro-life call, that would be what the focus would be on. Okay, to basically, the focus in a pro-life call would be, oh, so you're going to force this 12-year-old that got raped by her father to have a baby. That would be the call. Okay,
so it's relevant.
This woman to have this baby and die on, you know, on the operating table or the birthing table. So you're going to tell this lady she has to die to have the baby. That would be the focus of the pro-life call. You're talking less than 1% of everything, but that would be the focus.
Yeah, but I mean, just in that argument of she dies on the table delivering the baby, whether that was then or at the time the baby is 12 and you're fighting off an attacker giving your life for the baby.
But
what
I'm telling you,
what real difference is that?
That would be the pro-life call. The pro-life call would go down the lines of you are forcing a woman to give up her quote-unquote rights to her life and her body. Okay? It's the pro-life call is never about the child. They don't even refer to it as a child. They refer to it as a fetus, okay, or an embryo. They don't refer to it as a child. Okay. Now, when your wife was pregnant, did you say, "Oh, let me touch the embryo"? Look at the embryo's foot moving across your tummy. Oh, that's pretty neat.
Oh man, that's good. That's good. But right, again, you know, I'm gonna move on. But again,
yeah. Go ahead.
You know, the majority is convenience or inconvenience, you know, if I got that squared away. But
we agree with that.
And, you know, I'll say this. Does having an abortion break one of the Ten Commandments?
Of course.
Yes.
Yes.
Must definitely.
Yes.
One other thing I wanted to add about the pro-abortion call, because we are so pro-life on this call. We're not getting the other side. The other thing about the pro-abortion call would be, look, women are going to do it. Do you want to force them into the back alleys with coat hangers?
But no, that is a great question.
Yeah.
That's a great question. You want to scare them so much that they're so afraid to go to an abortion clinic that they'll get the chop shop man to do it.
Right. So
So I play the pro-choice meeting guy.
Say it again?
I play pro-choice.
Go ahead.
Okay. All right, let me play pro-choice. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you now. I mean,
all right,
I'm pro-choice as well. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. We got some pro-choice folks on here. Go ahead.
Listen, I lost my job. The house is in foreclosure. We out here on the street. You know what I'm saying? We got these three kids. We trying to survive with. And here we go. We got pregnant. What are we going to do?
Well, why not just kill all of them?
Wow. Wow.
This may be the conversation. Or what about this one? My husband's a drunk. He's a crackhead. I'm doing everything. I can't have this man's baby.
Yeah, why not kill the other ones at home, too?
Some have done that.
Yeah.
Some have. Yeah. But you see, that's called murder. It's not called abortion, and it's not legal. The only difference between murder and abortion is timing.
And that's back to, you know, my question, which y'all have already answered. Does having an abortion break one of the Ten Commandments? You know, but I will.
So I'm not powerful enough, nor am I knowledgeable enough, nor do I think anybody is, to really make that statement. I'll be quite honest.
What statement?
To know whether or not, you know, abortion, you know, as a whole, if you can characterize it as a whole, is breaking one of the Ten Commandments. You know what I'm saying? I'll say that me personally. Regardless of my personal feelings on it, I don't know that I'm knowledgeable enough, nor do I have enough divine power to say.
Well, I think it's just a matter of defining life. So if you define life as being conception, then it's murder.
Wow.
I mean, there's really no twist. There's no twist to that. If it's life, then you caused it to be death. Mm. And that, by definition, is murder.
Okay.
Well, yeah, you know, I hear that argument, the argument he just made in terms of why don't you kill all of them. I guess my question at that point would be, well, first of all, it's my belief, and I think most people will say that there's no one sin that's any greater than the other.
Sure.
So, you know, you, just like everybody else in this world that I know of, you know, they sin. They make bad choices, they make wrong choices, and they do wrong things, and they sin. You know, so if you lie to someone during the day, you're no better than the person who just killed someone. So I guess in answer to the question of, well, why don't you just kill all of them? Well, if you have to lie or tell a lie, well, why lie, you know, 40, 50 times when you can narrow it down to just one? Why would you kill all your children as opposed to, okay, well, you know, if somebody has to be sacrificed, why not just one instead of all of your children?
You know, if that's where you're looking at it and you're saying that, hey, times are tough, you know, I can't afford this child, so I'm going to have an abortion, kill it, get rid of it. And then what if times are still tough and you got three more? Do you say, well, let's just do one more and then things will be better? I mean, at what point do you stop?
Well, let me just say this. I know a young lady who is a single parent, has three kids. She's in very early 20s. Doesn't get much child support and struggles just, I mean, as sure as the day is long just to take care of the three that she has. I mean, just, that's just, it's tough, you know, government housing or whatever it is, you know, just does everything she can just to barely get by because she has these three kids that she's not getting any help for. She doesn't have a job. She can't really have a job at this point because she, you know, life is basically centered around taking care of these kids. Now, if she were to have a fourth child in that same situation, that probably would be enough to push her over the edge. She probably wouldn't be able to, with the little support that she does have from family, friends, and whoever, to take care of that fourth child. So it's not a matter of, hey, let's just kill all the kids, because, okay, maybe she can get by with just those three, maybe.
If that's the condition that she's in, at what point do we hold her responsible for having unprotected sex again?
You have her. You hold her responsible. I mean, from the very beginning, from the first child to the fourth, absolutely. But if that's the situation, just like with that person who got raped, and that's just where they are, or that wife who just happened to slip up and go with another guy, or that wife who got pregnant by her husband, whoever it may be. I mean, it doesn't change the situation as it stands right now. You're talking about circumstances that you got you to that point. Well, okay, go ahead, blame whoever you need to blame, but if that's still the situation, that doesn't change anything.
Well, this has nothing to do with blame, man. I mean, if we commit some kind of crime or if we commit some kind of a sin, or even if we don't, let's just say we happen to be speeding. We get pulled over by a cop, we get a ticket, we get in trouble.
Right.
You know, there's a consequence for the choice.
That's right.
Now, I'm not saying that she shouldn't be held accountable. I'm not saying that the choice wouldn't hurt.
Right.
I mean, obviously it would. But at the same time, you know, there's no excuse, and it's not the child's responsibility that the mom has made a poor choice. And I think what the other guy is saying has a little bit of validity to it, even though it's not, maybe not be coming across in the right way. But it is to say that if abortion, if the sole ends of abortion is to prevent paternity or maternity, because that's really what it's all about. It's somebody that doesn't want to choose a parent. What he's saying is that, well, if that person thinks it's too hard and being a parent is just too hard and they've already got three kids, why not get rid of them? I understand where he's coming from in that perspective, because if you read the legislation, I'm sorry, I shouldn't even use that dirty word. It's not legislation. If you read the decision of Roe v. Wade, it's very, very disgustingly put together in the way that it defines the health, quote unquote, of a woman, and makes it so broad that it can be absolutely anything. She could just not feel like it that particular day and get an abortion, citing that it's in her health, but does not need any doctor, any psychotherapist, any government counselor, nobody to actually corroborate the actual state of her mental, physical, or financial health. She just has to say it. There's no accountability.
Right. That means you have a...
I got to add something in here. I'm still playing pro-choice on this thing, okay? Why is it the man has left the situation? Didn't he lay the seed? He left the situation.
That's not true.
So now we're putting it on her, who has three kids, and she has number four, and the man says, I'm out. I don't care what you do.
Well,
you got pregnant on your own.
She got herself into that
situation.
Well,
she didn't get
pregnant three times. Both parties have a responsibility in this.
Sure they do.
Right.
If the man says,
I'm not going to pay child support, I don't want to do anything with you, I want nothing to do with the baby. And it takes two. This is pro-choice. This is pro-choice that I'm taking on. And the man says, she comes to him, hey, you know what we did the other night? I got pregnant. Well, I'm out. Not mine. And that's what we have these days. So now you're saying it's all the woman's fault that she should have took more precaution. What about the
man? I'm not saying it's all the woman's fault. No. Don't misunderstand me. It is not all the woman's fault. When two people get married and they have lots of property and they decide to get a divorce, no one person gets to take everything. Everything gets split. The courts decide what's going to happen. Everybody has to take their fair share of property and responsibility. So just because a father walks away doesn't mean that a mother necessarily should be able to do the same thing, and vice versa. It's not fair to assume that just because a woman's in that position doesn't mean that the father didn't want to be there. Now, I don't know how many people on this call have experienced an abortion, but I have. And my wife got an abortion, and she killed our first child without my permission, without consulting me, without including me as a part of it. And when we had our second child, she decided she didn't want to lose this one and that I was somehow the cause of her last abortion. So she took her as well. Women make bad decisions every day because when they get pregnant and when they're in stressful, tumultuous situations, they have a tendency to make bad decisions and to listen to people who will tell them exactly what they want to hear, which they think is the easiest way out of a situation. And it's not always the best for them. It's not always the best for the child. And now she still sits around racked with guilt and can barely discipline our daughter because she's afraid of putting the foot down because she's carrying all this guilt about the previous relationship she lost with a child. So now I'm not saying that that's everybody, but I can tell you that we were married when this happened. We were two people together. So this wasn't one of those ridiculous relationships where somebody was out doing something frivolous. But the people that she was getting advice from, a young lady who had two kids by a guy that she wasn't married to, had five children by four other women. And this was her source of wisdom, as opposed to the good God above. Now, look, I'm not saying that women don't get into tough situations. I'm not at all. You know, my heart goes out to people who have suffered rape, especially by family members, and have to deal with trying to make the decision of whether or not to let this child live. That's a tough, tough call, and I wouldn't make that for anybody. But what I can say is this, that in the cases where a person has made the choice to copulate unsafely and has gotten pregnant, there's just no reason. There's no logical, there's no moral, there's no ethical reason to just say, oh, well, you don't have to be held responsible for your actions in any way. Take it out on this kid. Destroy the child. Now, again, people may not feel that life starts at conception. Believe whatever it is that you like. But I think that everybody, at least on this call, whether you're pro-life or not, can agree to the idea that there is a completely independent set of DNA that starts within that first cell. A completely different, independently functioning set of DNA that functions, processes, multiplies, and progresses on its own accord, without any intervention, in fact, on mom's behalf. Simply because of the fact that it's relying on mom for nutrients does not mean that it's not alive or that it's not something. Because if you uproot a tree from the ground, eventually that tree will, in fact, die. But while it's still inside the ground, it is a seed and it is life. If you go to any scientist anywhere around the world who watches some seed sprout right inside the ground, he will call it life. But a human seed that does the same thing is not considered life. We have a bigger ethical, moral responsibility and a bigger question to answer than just whether or not a woman was raped or not. It's how do we feel about ourselves? Because the way that we view life, the way that we view life, the thing that God creates, that I mean, we don't actually create any of this. The egg is alive. It has 13 genomes. The semen is alive. It has 13 genomes. We didn't make semen. We had nothing to do with creating semen or creating eggs. But when those things come together, they create something that we have absolutely no control over. It's out of our hands. So who are we to decide whether it lives or dies?
Right. I would agree. And let me tell you that.
How did your marriage survive that? Because that's something that's difficult for me.
Well, it happened really, really early on. And I believed in my heart that no matter what, I had made a commitment to honor God, to honor my wife. And I was going to stand next to her no matter what it was that she did, no matter what pitfalls she, no matter how she hurt me, because I served my God and I loved my wife. And I stood by her and I did all that I could. I was really angry. I'm still angry about it in some ways. And I found a really great study called Healing a Father's Heart that I've been going through on my own, which is, it's very, very rare to be able to find a study that will kind of walk you through getting over an abortion, because nobody thinks about the fathers in this situation. Nobody thinks about the dads that want to be dads. You know, the dads that would take all of the responsibility on their shoulders if the mom didn't want to be a parent. We're not considered, and we're forgotten, and it sucks. So there were a lot of times we tried. I tried to discuss it. I went to counseling for it, and she didn't. And there were times it would come up, and she would just break down. And I said, why don't we just go to counseling? And she just wouldn't do it. And honestly, that was the choice that she made, that she didn't really want to get over it. It was just all my fault. Somebody had to be blamed for it because she just wouldn't have done it herself when really she needed to deal with it. Ultimately, we did just finalize a divorce in January. I had gotten a business and a career and everything started, and we found out that we were 4.5 months pregnant while we were in the process of moving across the country. And so we had 4 months to end our timetable to get her over to the West Coast. And we found out we were pregnant, and she decided she didn't want to do it anymore. She wanted to live with her mom. Her mom was safer. I was unsafe. The baby, you know, wouldn't be protected with me, all this sort of stuff. And it was insane. It was really insane. And as I found some journals that she left behind and saw who she was talking to and what they had fed to her, I understood exactly what happened. But she ended up walking out. We had the baby. She left one day with no notice. And took my child to Connecticut, and she took the only car we had, so there was really not much I could do. She's already out of state, so I couldn't issue an Amber Alert, so I had to try to work through it as best as possible, and it's been hell ever since. But I can tell you that if I had been wiser, I would have known about this beforehand, and I would have done something about it then, and if I was wiser at the time, I don't know. Maybe I would. There would have been something that I could do, could have done before she aborted the child, that might have prevented it. Because honestly, if I had known, and if I could have found the encouragement or the right support for her, and she still didn't want to have this child, I would have taken this child. I would have taken the child.
Why didn't you know? Why wasn't she comfortable enough to come in and tell you? And I don't know the status of your relationship, but, you know, I'm just trying to, you know, listen in and learn what I can from you. And you know.
That's fair. That's a fair question. That's a fair question. And I'll be honest with you, it was that my wife did not know herself, and what I knew of my wife was not the wife that she had been presenting. You know, it turned out, you know, there were so many truths. Once somebody gets cut deep enough, they bleed out the truth. And that's just the way it ended up happening. I was sold a great bill of goods, beautiful, wonderful woman that, you know, had given me every promise in the world and done all these wonderful, nice things for me. You know, in the process of it, I'll be honest with you, there were red flags. There were things that popped up here, there, and the other, but it was one of those at the time that, you know, I just kind of believed, and this was before I was saved, and this was before we were married, that, you know, this is people go through rough patches. You know, people do stupid things. People make mistakes. you know, you forgive the people that you love and you move on. And you do forgive the people that you love and you do move on, but you don't necessarily have to sit around and be a chump.
Sounds familiar.
Which is what I did. Okay. So, you know, if there's anything that I can share with you guys, this is firsthand experience. I grieve for my child all the time. He would be 7. He would be 7 years old. And I look at my daughter, and I'll be spending the weekend with her this upcoming weekend. And, you know, prayerfully, circumstances will change in the future, and I'll always be able to have more time. But in the meantime, I look at her, and I think I can't help but think what a great big sister she would have been. She is so smart. And what a great little sister she could have been, because she's so caring and she's so giving. And all the opportunities that I can't give to her, because this life, this person who was supposed to be here, is not. And then for me, you know, I have more paternal energy in my heart and in my body than I can give to anyone. And it doubles over whenever I'm around kids, that I can give that. There's a drive put in people. I mean, God doesn't put kids in a place to be conceived by accident. And every child teaches the parents something. It's not just our responsibility to raise a kid so they go off and be stupid adults. God uses those children to teach us and to change us. Because I'll tell anybody here, if any of you has children, you know that there is no more humbling experience than to try to raise another human being to get them to be good and to get them to be obedient and to get them to learn to treat other people with respect and with dignity and with kindness. It's hard, and you can't teach what you don't know and what you don't practice.
Can I ask you something? Do you feel that the guilt of her killing your children has something to do with the ending of your marriage?
No. Actually, well, at least not from my perspective. I mean, I can't say that it wasn't an additional nail in the coffin or something that hurt, but I forgave her then, and I could forgive her for that now.
No, I'm not talking about on your part. I'm talking about on her part.
On her part, I would have to imagine so, but I can't speak for her. I didn't get the truth until very, very recently, and I can't really speculate, because to speculate means I have to think about what she intended and what she did and all that, and it just takes me down a bad road in the past that I don't want to be on anymore.
Yeah, and good words. Let me bring this back, because I've got a few other seatbelt sounds to drop here, but I think the majority can agree that abortion breaks one of the Ten Commandments, actually number 6, thou shalt not kill. So if you agree and support the procedure, then couldn't you be considered an accessory to murder?
No.
No?
No, definitely not. And it goes back to what I said.
That's stretching.
No, yeah. No. And the reason, like I said, I mean, the reason I'm pro-choice, you know, even though I'm against me personally, you know, abortion is not something I could ever see myself doing, of course, for my religious reasons. I can't speak for anybody else, and I can't speak for anybody else's situation, but just, I mean, me, I can only be accountable for me and what I do, you know what I mean? And when I go and I seek my judgment, you know, when I stand before God, I would hope you're only going to ask me to speak for the things that I taught to people and what I did. And, you know, of course, I'll never teach anybody that, you know, abortion is right, and, you know, that's not something that I can see myself doing. But because I don't, because I don't necessarily think that Roe versus Wade should be overturned, does that make me an accessory to murder? I mean, absolutely not. No more than me knowing that somebody else says, somebody else tells a lie that, you know, I didn't take any part of, but, you know, I mean, I happen to know about it. I don't think I'm any more responsible for that. So
I'm saying in a relationship, you know, you have your girlfriend or your wife or whatever, and she says, you know, I think we should get the abortion. And you say, yeah, let's go get the abortion. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about outside of the parameters of a relationship. Could you be considered an accessory to murder in that case? Anybody?
let me just answer the question.
Okay.
And, I got to answer this question the best way that I know how, because I see that we're being extremely harsh on this thing called abortion, and because of one's beliefs. I have personally used abortion as birth control in my past, personally. And I do not have the right to tell anyone, well, if you kill one, go kill all. And the fact that I've been forgiven and I'm saved in the whole nine yards, I still don't have the right to tell someone, well, if you kill one, go kill the whole family. You see what I'm saying? And I think right now we're teetering on a thin line of judgment. When we start talking about what a person did, go kill the family or whatever the case may be, at the brother just said it, we have to be responsible for what happens for our story on Judgment Day for ourselves. You see what I'm saying? That calling someone a murderer and accessory to murder and all that stuff, I think it's taking it a little bit too far because, again, there are circumstances that are beyond people's control that Patrice, being pro-choice, would probably argue with that he understands why they had to have an abortion. So I think we got to watch that judgment piece a little bit.
You know what I mean? Like I said, to me, I thought the call more about, you know, as a head of a household, you know, I understand why it's viable, but like I said, just to kind of piggyback on that, I don't know. I don't see where, is somebody an accessory to murder, you know, like how is that, you know, how is that
that's
enhancing
extreme.
The call?
Well,
that's
let's flip the script a little bit. So, you know, you hear the terms of murder, you hear the terms of, if they're raped or if this happens or that happens. Well, I know someone who's very close to me, actually, and they were raped at 17. They had the baby. The baby is no longer a baby. The baby is now 35 years old. Could have had the abortion, considered the abortion, did not have the abortion. That baby now doing very well, has an international ministry, is an evangelist, missionary work in Haiti, Argentina, also is a Spanish teacher. They do Spanish teaching on the side anyway in the Pittsburgh area. They do very, very well for themselves. And so the flip side of that is it's really perception, because when you know that you've been impregnated, when you know that there's life, whether that's 9 months down the road before you see the life, you know that there's life on the inside of you. Thus the reason for the abortion. So with that being said, you having that life on the inside of you, it's a perception that this life is going to be a burden. This life is going to be a hindrance. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be easy. Just like the brother was talking about, he still has thoughts of what his son would have been like, or his daughter, or whatever would have taken place, or twins, or whatever would have happened. He still had thoughts. So I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not saying financially it would be easy. But then the perception is, why is the perception so negative, as opposed to, wow, well, this child could be a LeBron James, a Tiger Woods, or maybe we don't want it to be Tiger. But, and maybe we don't want it to be LeBron. His stuff might not have just came out yet. But you know what I mean. He could be a Colin Powell, or I try to keep someone very positive. But you know what I mean. He could be that. He could be that individual. She could be that individual. So does the perception have to be so negative around your circumstance on how, or I should say she, how she became pregnant? Or, no, I guess I could also talk about us in some cases, because we're thinking along those lines.
Yeah.
In some cases.
And I just piggyback on that, Rodney, that, you know, my whole reason why I said that an accessory to murder was to make it a little bit uncomfortable. Maybe that was too extreme. I apologize. But my
Don't
whole
apologize,
thing is, that,
man.
You know,
That's
my whole
situation.
Thing is that if me and my man went to my neighbor's house and I killed him and he watched out, he will be an accessory to murder. And I think what Rodney said earlier was that it's all in when you define life. You know, is it at conception? Is it when they come out of the birth canal? Is it when they become 35 years old or whatever the case may be? So I think that, you know, that's why I framed it that way, to say in any other circumstance, if me and my man go to my neighbor's house and he's the lookout and I kill him, he's an accessory. Because I took his life.
When's the last time somebody went to jail for abortion?
Exactly. And that's my next point. Thank you. Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Tony. I need to ring my seatbelt sign because you just... Because Michael Vick got 23 months in prison for killing some dogs. Okay? Okay. But nobody gets any jail time for having an abortion. The society holds animals in higher regard than unborn humans. That's my question. Animals.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he didn't. I mean, let's get it straight. He didn't go to jail for killing dogs. He went to jail for dog fighting.
He funded the operation. That's why he went to jail.
Yeah.
And they just wanted somebody big that now can be their poster child for everything, so they went after him.
Exactly. Right, but still, my point is that dog fighting the dog,
well,
you know, he's not
wrong,
even killing them. Killing unborn humans, oh, yeah, he's good with that. You know, no, you know.
Well, if he had killed an unborn dog, if the dog had an abortion, he wouldn't have gone to jail. So, I mean, it's. I don't think that's apples to apples, man.
That's not apples. And guess what? Are teenage girls getting... Or teenage boys getting locked up for having sex, unprotected sex, where they know they might one day abort a child prior to?
Yeah, let me give y'all an example of a teenage girl, you know, show y'all how this is affecting, you know, society. In last May, in a small town in Utah, a 17-year-old girl was 7 months pregnant, and she paid a man she had just met $150 to beat her up in hopes of inducing a miscarriage. Basically,
I remember that.
And, you know, and he accepted the offer and took her to the basement and kicked her repeatedly in the stomach. So, thank God the baby survived, and he got 5 years. And another example was how this 27-year-old young lady tweeted her abortion. You know, she was pregnant and she took the RU486 pill, the quote-unquote abortion pill, and she basically tweeted, "My cramps are getting a little more persistent now. A few hours later, definitely bleeding now." So the whole thing is about with society and abortion, it's all, you know, 17-year-old meets a dude on the street, said, "Beat me up in the stomach, kill my baby." 27-year-old tweets it, like, "Yeah, let me get on my internet, let me get on my blog, YouTube." It's more serious than that. And, you know, I want to, you know, look at, you know, some statistics, you know, that I pulled out. And that it said 3 out of 5 black babies conceived will be aborted, 3 out of 5. And blacks make up 13% of the U.S. population, and black females make up roughly half of that, 7% of the U.S. population. But they make up over half of U.S. abortions. And a majority of abortion clinics are in minority communities. And it was a reverend, Clenard Childress, you know, who is black. He said that the most dangerous place, and I quote, "The most dangerous place for an African-American to be is in the womb of their African-American mother," end quote. I mean,
Can I add something to that?
Go ahead.
I don't know if you guys are very familiar with the biggest advocate of abortions in this country. It's called Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, they get $350 million a year.
That's right, mm-hmm. Of our tax dollars. It was started by a lady named Margaret Sanger. Margaret Sanger believed that the best way to control the blacks were to kill them. And that is what Planned Parenthood was based upon.
The number of abortions performed in the United States has actually decreased, fellas. Has actually decreased. But the total number of abortions in the African-American community has increased. And in 2006, the number of aborted black babies is basically the equivalent of killing more than the entire black population of Oakland, California, D.C., and Atlanta combined, the entire black population. So, I mean, just putting it in perspective, again, that's just from a factual standpoint.
This is one of the quotes from Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood. "We do not want word to get out that we want to exterminate the Negro population. Abortion clinics were originally set up with the intent of slowing the population growth of Afro-Americans and other racial groups considered mentally or otherwise inferior. Margaret Sanger, Planned Parenthood, is a major force behind the abortion pro-choice abortion movement in America to eliminate the black race.
This is all good stuff, but if we want to have a debate on whether or not abortion is right or, you know, what are really the political, you know, repercussions and motivations behind it, I think we can do that. But, I mean, somewhere you got this in this specific conversation
please.
We're having?
Please,
just
take
it
back.
Wait
a
minute,
please.
Fellas, it's not
11
yet. I mean, I'm going to get there. Just be patient. Because, and back to Roe v. Wade, just another statistic before I break it down for y'all, is that since Roe v. Wade, since 1973, there have been 50 million babies aborted, 50 million, and 17 million have been black. Just another statistic. But, you know, here's where I'm going to tie it in, because it's that time. What if your mama aborted you? Now, I guess you wouldn't be on this phone call right now. That beautiful wife you have, that special lady in your life, she'd be with some other dude. You know, what if your mama aborted you? That house you have, you know, somebody be, you know, living there. That job you have, somebody else be working it. Those gifts and talents that God has uniquely blessed you with, the world would have never experienced. What if your mama aborted you? Those kids you have that have your DNA, they wouldn't exist. Every child, as one brother mentioned earlier, every child has unique combinations of bands or a DNA profile which they inherited from their parents. All bands present in a child's profile are inherited from their parents. What if your mama aborted you? And I want to reflect real quick on Tony's topic last week, sex after marriage. Every time that you have sex, fellas, you have to realize that there's the possibility of conceiving a baby if you have sex with a woman that's still ovulating. Now, you may say, oh, Rodney, you know, my wife's on the pill, she's on the shot, I use condoms. But the last I checked, those things are not 100%. They're not 100%. And in the case where the lady was tweeting her abortion, she was actually on an IUD, an intrauterine device, which has a 1% failure rate, and she got pregnant. 1% failure rate, and she got pregnant, versus 3% for oral contraceptives and 12% failure rate for condoms. So outside of scientific involvement and using turkey basters, the only way to prevent conception is to keep Cyclops out of the cave. And that's, you know, and going back to the sex piece, that's whether the sex be with your wife, your regular jump off, your one night stand, or whomever. So you have to really think. It's like even if you're having sex even with your wife, think about whether or not you're ready to conceive a child with that woman, because that is a possibility. Now I know that reality won't stop y'all from having sex with your wives, and it's not supposed to. But just think about just look back over your life and just think of. If you thought about that before laying down and doing the do. And to tie it back, I got to do a little math, because in 2009, 5 million babies were conceived in the United States, 5 million babies. So 1 million were aborted, 20%. So how many we got left? 5 million conceived, 1 million aborted. How many we got left?
4 million.
4 million. Thank you, sir. It's not that hard. 4 million that made it, 2009. Now, out of that 4 million, 1.5 million were born out of wedlock. 1.5 million born out of wedlock. So you got 4 million, 1.5 million. How many you got left?
2.5 million.
2.5 million. Thank you, sir. So 2.5 million were born to married couples. So, fellas, what this tells me is that this is about commitment, because babies have a better chance of not being aborted by being in wedlock than out of wedlock, almost twice as likely. And you can reflect on that by, you know, checking the episode that we did on sexual healing I did some months ago. But back to Webster. I want to redefine abortion again, because it's getting late. And I got four different definitions. Abortion promotes the failure to develop, progress, or mature. That's number one. Number two, the cessation of normal growth prior to full development or maturation. Number three, the premature ending or abandonment. And finally, number four, cessation of a process before completion. So watch this. Thinking back to Patrice's topic from 2 weeks ago, having an abortion is actually abnormal and is therefore dysfunctional.
Mm.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I hear you.
And, you know, somebody, what time is it? Somebody got the time?
It's
11:02. Okay, fellas, since the start of this show, there have been over 292 abortions last 2 hours. That's one every 30 seconds.
Oh, my God.
One every 30 seconds. And one of those babies being black. So you got two a minute, one every 30 seconds. I say that because I just want to, you know, just close this up, you know. Each baby is created by God. That's what we have to remember. And it's part of his plan. Part of his plan, as stated in Psalms 139:13-14. And it says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." Abortion is a voluntary and deliberate destruction of the life of an unborn child, and it affects women physically, emotionally, and spiritually. When a woman interrupts God's plan of life through abortion, she may suffer a spiritual void and separation from God. And the tragedy, here's the tragedy. No one will ever know that terminated child's potential. No one would ever know. Ever know. So this is the type. This is the type of thing that the head of household has to be, you know, careful about. Because in Deuteronomy 30:19, God tells us to choose life, so that you and your children shall live. I know that's a little heavy. I'm done. I'm through.
But you, I can tell you one thing. You do out a lot of stuff. Right there at the end.
Yeah, I had to close it up.
When you look at this overall, it's one thing to ask for forgiveness and get it from God, but it's another thing to make amends with yourself. There's two different things. They are two different things. And when we think about this topic, I mean, this one is deep.
It's a tough topic. It's uncomfortable. And when you look at the clock, and y'all probably didn't even realize, you know, we just put one every 30 seconds that we've been talking on this phone. Bam, done. And if you look back at the clock, when the clock strikes 12, turning over to a new day, the United States will have completed 3,500 abortions today. 7 days a week, 365 days a year to get to your 1.3, 1.5 million. Who knows what the actual figure is? That's a lot of kids.
Right, it is.
What you're saying with that statement too is there's a lot of women walking around out there with voids and we can be dating them. I mean, people can be dating them. Your son, who's 16, 17, 20 in college, can be dating this girl who is emotionally scarred in some way, spiritually broken, unconnected, and may marry her and doesn't even know what he's getting into.
Now you're getting it.
I mean, goodness.
Now you're getting it.
Wow.
Now you're getting it. It's that serious, fellas. That's why I wanted to tackle this topic. And again, I apologize if I offended anybody. That's not my intent. But this thing is serious. It was a serious topic. I appreciate y'all being on here. Serious, serious. This is serious grown man business. So when you know, your teenage daughter or that hard-head boy, pun intended, gets some girls pregnant, you know, you can say, hey, you know, like Andrew said in the beginning, hey, you getting an abortion, girl.
Well, that education needs to be there, too. And since, you know, since it's a head of household call and it's all pertinent, is that we have to take that charge and educate on, someone used the crucial term of potential. And just like I'm sure the men are on this call, we encourage our children. I hope we are anyway. We're encouraging our children, and we speak highly of their potential, of them being able to accomplish whatever it is, whether it's academics or whether it's their abilities in basketball, in sports of some way or another. But we're always encouraging them. We'll go to their recitals and so forth and tell them, hey, you have great potential. You can't hit that note yet, but you keep wearing that violin out, or you keep wearing that guitar out, or whatever it is that they're doing. We know, you know, that it sounds horrible at first, but we know that there's potential there. If they just stick with it, and they, then at the end, it shall show forth some fruit. And this, the same thing applies to this whole abortion topic, is that, yeah, okay, it might be a little rough. And it might be a lot rough, you know, no need of sugarcoating it, to be able to get through it. But in our household, we're family. I might not like the things that you've done. You have, you know, having kids out of wedlock, but at the same time, I can't necessarily say that because I've had my kid, or at least my son, out of wedlock. And so, you know, I can't be a hypocrite while I'm educating my kid, but at the same time, I have to educate them. I have to take on that responsibility. I can't hide behind not being a hypocrite or what have you. I wasn't educated. I didn't understand at the time that I did. I didn't have parents that I had parents, but I didn't have them that that educated me or spoke to me on these terms and on these levels. And but I have to take the head and talk to my son, talk to my daughter about the decisions that they make currently and the decisions that are waiting to face them as they get older. And in the process of doing that, saying, hey, this is not the path, at least for me and my household, this is not the path that I want you going down. This is not the path you want to go down. There's potential on the inside of you, and don't kill it. Don't allow it to die, I should say, just if that whole murder and killing thing is offending people. But don't allow it to die.
Yeah, and I'll say this, too. I think it came up earlier in the call, is that a lot of times the excuse that I hear that is thrown out is that, well, you know, they don't believe what I believe, you know, so I can't, you know, put my beliefs on them. But the reality is it's only one truth. You know, when it comes down to it, it's not whether you believe the truth or not. I mean, the truth is the truth.
Right.
You know, so that, I mean, I can't push my beliefs on them. No. If your beliefs are true, then maybe you don't believe that you're not believing in the right thing. I would hope that you believe it's the truth. If not, you better get out.
Well, I think both, whether you pro-choice or pro-life, we both agree that there's a child on the inside of you.
Oh,
the reason why we both agree on that, and before the arguments start, but the reason why I know we both agree on that is because you're having an abortion for a reason.
Mm.
Because you know that there's something on the inside of you, and if you don't act on it now, it's going to come out.
And
so you believe there's life. I believe there's life. The disagreement is whether or not this life on the inside of you, or whether or not you justify that this life on the inside of you is going to be a burden, or it's going to be
a blessing,
you know, something positive, a blessing, right? And so that's a perception that you have, and you put it there, and does it work with the agenda for your life?
And
in some cases, you say no, and so it got to go.
I've got two girls.
Rodney, you said something that struck a nerve with me. You said, you know, I don't want to offend you. And you know what? As a Christian, there was a lot of things that Jesus did that offended people.
Yeah.
And if the truth offends you, then maybe the truth isn't the problem.
Whoa.
Wow.
I would agree that Jesus did offend some, but it was not his intent or his purpose to offend.
Not intention.
Yeah,
but if speaking the truth is offensive to you, then the problem may not be with the truth.
Well, I just want to tell everybody, you know, I mean, thank you. Rodney, I certainly appreciate you having this, you know, call, because, I mean, I definitely think it's, you know, necessary. You know, it's you know, as the head of household, you know, you're going to tackle a lot of different issues, a lot of things that are going to make us, you know, uncomfortable. So, you know, I just say, I certainly took a, you know, a lot away from the call. Yes, you know, I still hold my position on holding myself accountable and, you know, specifically educating my children so that, you know, they don't even have to make that decision. You know what I mean? Because me personally, as the head of household, I'm going to look at myself as a failure. What did I do to my son to have him go out here and get somebody pregnant so that way he has to contemplate, you know what I mean, killing the child? Or what did I do to my daughter, you know what I'm saying, as the head of the household that, you know, would even lead her to believe, and even put herself in that type of predicament? So that's essentially what I aimed
to get out, you know, of this call. And
yeah.
So from it, I have a lot of angles that I can explore. Now, I can tell my child, hey, look, here's, you know what I mean, here's a statistic on abortion. Here's what it can do to your mind and psyche. You know what I mean? Now, I can't speak on what other people believe who are doing it, but this is what I believe. This is what, you know, our God teaches. This is what my pastor teaches. So, essentially, I just want to thank everybody and let everybody know, you know, it's much appreciated. I'll see y'all next Tuesday.
Yeah, we appreciate it, bro. All thanks for them good words. And, you know, we have to be careful, too, fellas, that, you know, as I mentioned, the 27-year-old young lady tweeting her abortion was on birth control. You know, she was on birth control. So, you know, if you're going to teach that, you know, that's fine. You know, if that's what you want to do. But, again, you know, you've got to realize that, hey, that's not going to protect you from getting pregnant. Has very high probability, you know, 99.9% of the time. But, you know, I got two girls. You know, I got two girls. And I'm going to teach them abstinence. Because I don't want that condom to break or that birth control not to work. And they come back and will say, Daddy said that this would, you know, protect me or keep me from getting pregnant. I don't want that on my conscience. That's just me. And my position changed from, you know, before I had kids, I didn't think that way. I was like, oh, no, yeah, I'm going to get them birth control and, you know, teach them about condoms and, you know, how to have sex safely and all that good stuff. But I was like, you know what? I don't want that weighing on my conscience. That as the head of household, I'm teaching my little girl, say, yeah, here's what you do. You roll the condom. This will protect you. This will keep you from getting pregnant. Or 99% of the time anyway, or whatever the statistic may be. But again, fellas, my position changed. You know, this was not my position, you know, when I was young in my marriage. I just want to throw that out there. It's heavy, heavy topic, heavy topic, heavy topic.
Yes, it was.
But that's where it comes from. Everybody was like, you know, how you going to bring this to the head of household? What's the difference? And again, as I said, I threw a lot of stuff at y'all at the end, but every time that you lay down with your wife, y'all doing the do or whatever, it's a possibility she's going to wind up pregnant if she's still ovulating. That's just how nature works. That's just how the human body functions. So she can be on birth.
Stop that.
You know.
You can go get clipped.
Yeah, unless you get clipped. Yeah. That's another topic. That's another topic. But, you know, again, is that, you know, if you're not clipped and, you know, she's still ovulating, y'all could end up having a baby. And it's like, you know, or when anybody you're sleeping with, it's like, man, do I want to conceive a child with this woman? You got to think about that. And I'm being a little, you know, graphic or extreme, but that's reality. That's a reality. That she may end up pregnant from y'all doing the do. That's just how it works. So it's like, you know, you 40 years old and, you know, wife say, hey, I'm pregnant. It's like, hey, guess we have another baby.
Guess I'll be 60 when the baby's 20.
Exactly. Exactly. Or your teenage daughter comes home pregnant or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, we're having a baby. So, you know, I appreciate y'all hanging in there. It was got a little tight at the end, but, you know, it's good convo. Good stuff. All right. If nothing else, we just roll this thing in the open mic. Anybody got something not on abortion? Please do tell. We've got about 1, 2, 3. Got about 8 perspectives on here. So shoot, go ahead, do your thing. Anything not related to the topic at hand, that's your opportunity, that's your chance to speak. Go ahead with it. Anybody, go ahead, jump out there.
Well, I got something going back to just advice that people shared with me a couple calls back.
Okay.
I actually did go ahead and extend the invitation to my father to come to my daughter's christening.
Wow. Amen.
So,
that's good.
I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know what he's done with it, what I've heard anything. But I listened to what you all shared with me, and I took that to heart, and I definitely did that.
You did your part. And don't you feel some type of relief now? Even if he doesn't show up.
I can't say I feel relief. But I can say that I took a step that honestly I didn't believe I was going to take, but I did. You know, when we had that conversation, I was actually at a conference down in Florida. So then I came back and had a chance to talk to my wife a little bit more about it. And yeah. And I just extended the opportunity for him to arrive, show up, whatever. And we'll see. I mean, that's all it is. I mean,
well, all we do now is get on them knees and pray on it, man. That's it.
So we'll see. But I mean, I know that's. I just wanted to share that with you all because I think what really allowed me to make that choice and that decision was by all means being on this call and having some of the positive reinforcement and opinions of you gentlemen. And I value that enough to be able to say, you know what, I'm not going to try to think I have the answer to everything. I'm going to give this a chance and just look at it as one time, you know, this one thing. I'm not going to try to, you know, load it up with all the other emotions and stuff because that's the real easy way to do it. I'm just going to say, you know what, I'm going to do this, and there it is.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Glad to hear that, man.
Yeah.
That's real good.
Anybody else got anything? Open mic segment, anything to share or a question to pose to the group, anybody? Chatters. I think we got Derek out there. But anybody else got anything? I got something actually. Did anybody take me up on the you know, I call it the BCC. You know, not blind carbon copy, but the birth control challenge. Did anybody talk to their wife, you know, what we were talking about last week as far as getting them off of birth control?
Well, mine ain't never been on it, so I can't.
Okay.
Never been on it. It was just she's always had an allergic reaction to that stuff, those pills and stuff, so she just never got on it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of ladies that have that those adverse reactions to that. So, what?
Well, gentlemen, I'm going to bow out. I never want to be offensive. As I told you, Rodney, yesterday, this is an explosive topic for me, and I am emotionally connected with it because I've been down the path and
yeah.
I understand the result of it. But I don't think that we need to be ashamed of speaking the truth. If the truth offends somebody, we don't have to be offensive, but if the truth offends somebody, you know,
right.
We have to speak the truth.
That's what I was trying to say. If I was personally offensive, you know, I won't apologize for the truth, you know.
Right. Offensive, but if the truth offends you, I mean, we have to speak the truth. I mean, to remain silent because we're scared that the truth is going to offend somebody. Well, you know, most of the planet doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior. But, you know, that's offensive to a lot of people. But, you know, if you're going to be around me, that's going to come out.
Sure. Yeah. Good words.
The truth.
Good words.
I also want to say I appreciate all the gentlemen on the call that shared their personal stories because this, I think, above all topics, is something that's very personal.
Yeah.
And by all means, draws from a lot of emotions, and in some aspects, drudges things up. So to have the courage to speak up and share, you know, I appreciate that, and I definitely wanted to say that.
Absolutely. I concur. I appreciate that, too.
Really, really appreciate
it. I enjoy y'all getting on every week.
Yeah.
I really appreciate hearing from that gentleman that went through that with his wife.
That was tough.
Anything else, fellas?
I pray my marriage could survive something like that.
It's tough.
But that's a real man. I mean, hey.
Yeah.
He took the initiative to hang on in there, and he got. At least he said, like he said, he's blessed with two more beautiful kids.
Yeah.
Even though it's still on his heart, you know. And I'm gonna be honest with you. If truth be told, and those statistics are right, Rodney.
Yeah.
Then that means 50% of us have been through an abortion in some type of way.
That's right.
In our lifetime. And out of those 50, we've probably done it more than once. If there's some folks on here, maybe a quarter of those 50 have done it more than once.
Yeah.
And it was, and our mindset is different now. You know, we're older, we're more mature, we're saved, we've gone through the fire, if we can say, we're working hard for our families, and we look at our lives, back in our lives differently. But at that time, you know, you got to put yourself in the mindset of a young man. And if that young man doesn't have that guidance, that book he's carrying every day with him in the car to go back and read, and we know what that guidance is that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Or somebody spiritual to talk to him. These are the decisions that they go to. Society or not, if I'm not ready, this is a choice I have. And a lot of people always try to take even grown men who are saved, look for the easy way out.
Yeah.
And that's what abortion is. This is an easy way out. And no one ever thinks of the consequences. On the surface, that's right.
Yeah.
And no one never thinks of what it does to your inside, what it does to your life, how it changes your life. And the thing is at the end of the day, you're going to see that baby again.
Maybe.
Wow.
You're going to see that baby again.
Maybe.
You got to go to that same place that,
maybe.
You know.
Yeah.
You got to go to the exact same place that you sent that baby who didn't have a choice.
Well, some of them aren't going to that place.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, for me, the hardest thing, somebody talked about it earlier, I haven't gone through this, and it didn't hit me until I got saved, I know God forgave me, but how do I forgive myself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, and there's several gentlemen that talked about having to go through the same thing I went through, and when, you know, that's the tough part. That's the part when, you know, when God throws a mirror up in front of you and shows you what you have become and what you've done, that's a difficult pill to swallow.
Yeah,
and I think a lot of that, the gentleman that was married and his wife was doing that, I think, truth be told, a lot of her situation was from the guilt that was eating her up for the things that she had done.
You know what, and listening to that and writing the statistics that you gave about the women here at the end, that's scary. Because as a man out there dating or hoping to get married, you don't know everything.
That's right.
And it's almost, to take a line from Forrest Gump, these women are like a box of chocolate. You do not know what you're going to get.
That's right.
You just don't know. And that's kind of, I mean, I've listened to everything, but that's just so scary. I'm just thinking about those of you gentlemen that have sons, or I'm just remembering us, myself, just, you just do not know who you are getting.
Yeah.
And you get in this marriage, and you, of course, everything seems whatever, and you're meeting the representative. And in some aspects, you're going to be marrying still the representative.
Yeah.
You know, and then you get in this stuff, and you're just like, where is this stuff coming from? And it's because of exactly the statistics that you just gave. I mean, that's scary.
Yeah, it's heavy stuff, man.
Yeah. Households, educating the family and educating the children and teaching our children, you know, so they don't have to deal with with that. And you know, if we all, as men, took that responsibility, we wouldn't have these issues, or very, very few of them. But because so many men are bailing out on the families.
Yeah. And that was the whole point of tonight. That was the whole point, is to give, you know, say, you know, if you are pro-choice or whatever the case may be, is to, you know, just take a second, you know, a second look at what you're doing, you know, because, I mean, it does, you know, as Derek said on the line, it weighs on us, too. I mean, you know, to go through that, you know, especially the woman, but, you know, way it affects us too. So, you know, that was the whole point, is that, you know, we're preparing the head of household for, as, you know, Brother Tony brought out, if your, you know, wife steps out on you, you know, and gets pregnant, you know, it's like, what do you do with that? I mean, you know, but the whole thing about it is that, you know, is you got to talk about it, you know, because when you're in that moment, it's like, oh, yeah, the bags are packed, I'm out of here, give me my kids, give me my keys to my car, I'll be back, you know, to get the rest of my stuff with a U-Haul truck tomorrow, you know, but you got to talk about these things, and that's why, you know, I wanted to, you know, bring you all this topic, because it's, you know, it's one of those that, you know, hey, that's part of being a head of household, stuff happens, you know, whether it be your wife or your daughter or your, you know, sister or whatever the case may be, you can give us some kind of perspective on the situation, so.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but yeah, good call, fellas. Anybody got anything else? It's 11:30.
Y'all have a good night.
All right. Yeah, I want to shut it down like this. Check this out. Did y'all hear that?
You're now free to move about the country.
Yeah. You're free. You take your seatbelts off, fellas. So, yeah, I appreciate y'all hanging in there. Good show. And we'll be back next week.
All right.
All right, y'all.